May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I brought from home a certain object that sits on our mantle. In fact, my wife has a collection of these types of things. What do I have here? An angel. How many of you have angels at your house? Do you have pictures? Who has pictures of angels? You do? How many of you have figurines of angels? Okay. When I left my last parish, somebody gave us one. It's about 3 feet tall. It's huge. And we have it sitting in our house. So like I said, my wife likes to collect angels, but I sometimes think we have angels around our house to remind us that God does provide us with angels in our life. Angels are fascinating things. And today's Psalms fill us with the promise that God has given to us that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Angels guard you. And they certainly do. Angels have been guarding us as God's people from the very beginning. We find them there at the very beginning, back in the Garden of Eden, as Adam and Eve leaving the garden. You might remember that God actually set an angel at the entrance of the garden, because in the heart of the garden there was a particular tree, and the angel was there with a flaming sword in order to guard the way to the tree, in order to keep Adam and Eve from going back into the garden to that tree. Here's what the Bible tells us. Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take us, take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim, that's an angel, and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. An angel was there to keep Adam and Eve out. Kind of sounds like a punishment to me, doesn't it? Does it sound like a punishment to you? It kind of sounds like it. It must have seemed like it. It must have seemed like a punishment. It must have seemed like an awfully big burden to bear, having enjoyed the garden and now being barred from entering it. But there was a loving reason that God placed that angel there in order to keep Adam and Eve out of the garden, to bar the way. Because within the garden, if you were hearing, within the garden there was a tree of life. A tree of life that would enable them to live forever. A wonderful thing. How many of you would like to live forever? I think actually as Christians, we are God's people who are actually looking forward to living forever. But now, who wants to live forever in sin? Who wants to live forever corrupt? Who wants to live forever with all the effects of sin, the pain and the suffering and the death? Because you see, sin had brought a lot of bad things. Sin had brought trouble, sin had brought pain, sin had brought death and dying. And now imagine these things, the corruption, the pain, the difficulties, the troubles, the dying forever with no end. Nothing to look forward to except more of the same. More troubles, more pains, always dying but never passing. God had a rescue plan. God had a rescue plan for our lives to live forever, but he did not want us to live forever in sin. He did not want us to live forever with pain. He did not want us to live forever getting into trouble. He did not want us to live forever with trials and difficulties. He did not want us to live forever in death. But he wanted us to live forever, restored together with him in a good life that he had originally created for us to live. The angels were there, you see, to preserve. The angels were there to protect just as we see angels everywhere else. The Bible is full of stories about angels who protected God's people. We find the angels ascending and descending in a dream that Jacob had. Jacob was far from home. He was on the run. He was afraid. And God assured him that no matter where he was at, even in this strange place, his angels were there to protect him, to watch over him, to see that all went well. We know that Daniel was in the lion's den, a very scary place to be. But God sent his angels in order to close the lion's mouth, to protect Daniel, to defend Daniel. One of my favorite angel stories actually is one that we're probably not very familiar with, but I'm going to share it with you today because it's so important. One of my favorite angel stories actually occurs in 2 Kings chapter 6. And it is there that we meet a prophet by the name of Elisha. Elisha was living in a town called Dothan. And in the middle of the night, the Syrian king decided he wanted to get rid of Elisha because Elisha was getting messages from God about the things that the king of Syria was doing, and the king didn't really much like that, so he was just going to get rid of Elisha. And just to make sure, he brought a large, large army together with him, and he surrounded the entire city. And in the morning, Elisha's servant got up and looked out, and he saw all of these armies marshaled around the city of Dothan, and he began to freak out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, master? Look at all the army. Look at, they're all here to get us. What are we going to do? And Elisha was just sitting there, hardly stirred at all, and he says, I don't want you to be afraid. He told his servant, don't be afraid, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And you can imagine his servant, what do you mean? What do you mean those who are with us? All I see are the armies of Syria. What are we supposed to do? But then Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, and he was able to see that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. All around the Syrian army were angels. Angels ready to defend Elisha, just like his angels defend you and me. I like that story. I like it because, like others, they remind us that God's angels are always there. They are always there even when we don't see them. They don't make an appearance. We don't find angels in every Bible story that we read. But that doesn't mean that they're not there. That doesn't mean that they're not there carrying out God's will. Oftentimes they are there carrying out God's will, and we are not even aware that they are there, but we can certainly be sure that God's angels guard each and every one of us. They are there, just as they were there when Jesus was born, announcing to Mary, don't be troubled. You're going to give birth to a son. Angels were there to comfort Joseph. Angels were there to announce the birth of our Savior to the shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. Angels were there to warn Joseph in the middle of the night to take the child Jesus and to flee to Egypt because Herod was on the way to take Jesus' life. And once again this morning, we heard in the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 4 how the angels were there to minister and to take care of Jesus. Now, the evil one likes to take God's word and use it to try and trip us up. He was there using our psalm today with Jesus, trying to trip Jesus up, trying to get him to doubt his heavenly Father. If you're reading in the gospel, you know that right before this, Jesus has been baptized, and the Father proclaimed from above, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus is about to begin his ministry, and he's out there in the desert, and the evil one comes around and he says, you think that you're the Son of God? Well, if you think that you're the Son of God, then why don't you do this, that, and the other? And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to doubt my heavenly Father. But instead, I'm going to walk in his ways. See, Satan was there to trap Jesus, to upend God's salvation plan. He was there to trip Jesus up so that he could not go on to serve as our Savior. But Jesus held firm, difficult as it was. And when Satan left him, who was there but God's angels? God's angels were there to minister to Jesus, to strengthen him. Just as they were there to strengthen Jesus when he prayed on the night in which he was betrayed, to strengthen him, to uplift him, to help him as he was making his way to the cross for you and for me. And those angels were not just there for Jesus. We know that on the third day when Jesus rose, and Jesus' disciples came to the tomb, and they came there to weep and to cry because they thought that Jesus was dead, there were angels there also to bring comfort and to bring good news to those who came, who told those who gathered there, don't be afraid anymore. Don't be sad, because I know that you come here looking for Jesus who was crucified. I know that you've come here thinking that Jesus is dead, but Jesus is alive. He is not here. He has risen. You see the good news that the angels brought, how much comfort the angels brought to those who gathered. And then he says, come here, see the place where he lay. He's not here. He has risen. What good news that is for you and me to know that angels guard you. We don't have the strength, and we oftentimes don't have the resources to face and to stand up against the many challenges of life. Psalm 91 spells out some of them. A harrowing scene with arrows and darkness and pestilence and lions and serpents and all kinds of other means of attack. All of which remind us that life can sometimes be challenging. Sometimes we don't have lions that are threatening us, but maybe we've got the bully in the classroom above us who's making life miserable for us. Maybe we've got some sickness or disease that has afflicted us. Maybe we've got some trouble or some class, some subject matter that is really overwhelming us that we are struggling with. Does God leave us to fend for ourselves? No. God is there to help us. He is there to assure us. He is there to assure us in the midst of all of that, that he still loves us, that Christ still claims us as his own, that he still loves us, that he still cares for us, and he still commands his angels concerning us to guard us in all of our ways. Angels, guard you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.